Blog Talk Radio.
From experience, and I'm also speaking from being able to tell you that it's real.
Well, everybody has to have a core. There's something that drives them. There's something that is bigger than ourselves.
Are you kidding me? Did you really just come at me like that? You will be eliminating the people that just don't have no business coming in your direction in the first place by the way you carry yourself, the way that you speak, and everything like that. So all you're doing is eliminating and inviting the correct people in your life.
No. We want to hear the deal.
Where do y'all want to go with this? You're talking children. You're talking relationships. You're talking all kinds of things. And it blows my mind, man.
Bye.
Yes, yes, yes. Sometimes that is justified and not. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Once again, you're welcome to the Man Up Talk Show. We had a little rain disturbance here. It's thunder where I'm at right now, but we're back on deck right now. Once again, welcome everyone to the show, the Man Up Talk Show, and tonight's topic is on fire. A lot of responses, a lot of people chiming in on this one, but let's say hello to the brothers, of course. Big shout out to my brother Edward L. Fairley, the brother Eddie. What's going on, bro?
What's up, baby? Good evening. How y'all doing, man?
Good evening, my man. How you doing, man? How's the fam, man?
Oh, my gosh. We're wonderful. I got another pitch yesterday. I got an email asking me do I want to be a co-star on another TV show yesterday that they're pitching next week. So may very well be on two TV shows. I'm not sure if you guys have heard of a guy named Michael Copen on a show called One Tree Hill.
One Tree Hill, yes.
Some kind of sitcom that was like from 2004 to 2012. The guy is Michael Copen. He has this kind of a bully initiative that he's pushing, and he's about to start pushing on Kickstarter, and they think it would be a good idea to have a talk show that discuss more in depth about bullying from the bully's point of view as well as the people who are being bullied. And I was asked, did I want to be a co-star of that show, because it would give me more viewing and more sightings to work with the guy on that show.
Oh, man, God is good. Definitely, brother.
Oh,
congratulations.
Yes, yes. Thank you, sir.
All right.
And
brother
I start Friday.
Oh, what? Oh, Friday?
No, I start Friday recording my promo for my show. I mean, not Friday.
Oh,
I apologize. Monday. No, Monday I start recording my the promo for the TV show.
Oh, congratulations, brother. I mean, for those who are just tuning in this show, our brother Edward L. Fairley, he's very blessed, and we're very honored and happy for him equally that he will be starting the new TV show soon down in, of course, in the Virginia area. You know, he's working on the promo, and they've been working hard behind the scenes. You know, the radio show is just blossoming.
Mm-hmm.
So congratulations, brother. I mean, definitely. It's all due respect, and you've earned it. Definitely.
Thank you, sir.
No doubt. And my big dog, Mr. Brother Dow Harrington, in the building.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
What's going on, brother?
Man,
how you?
Yo, man, I'm just trying to stay dry.
We got slams up here. What?
Brother, 2 minutes ago.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I just saw the art going right down the street. Straight up.
Wow. So you want to tell listeners what's been up with you lately, brother?
Well, lately, I just a couple of days ago, my lady just graduated, got her MBA, her executive MBA. Too proud.
Oh.
Did on Wednesday night. Still celebrating that.
Okay. So we got you for a little bit because we don't want the missus, you know, just jump, beat us down.
Yeah, you know, we got to put in what we got to put in, fellas. You know how it is.
I know Brother Haas will be calling because he hit me on face. He was like, listen, I'm in on this one. I'm in. So I know he'll be tuning in shortly and a couple other brothers. But you know what? The topic is crazy. I started the show with that song, How Can I Kill a Man? You know, I think let's dive into the topic before the DJ set, because I know Brother Dow got some things he got to do, and I know Brother Eddie can always give us another, what I call it, open-minded look at the subject. So let's dive into this right away first. What do you guys think for the topic alone?
All right, let me hit it where I can hit it. Okay. One, not my opinion. Word of God, Exodus 20 and 13,
mm-hmm.
Thou shalt not kill.
I agree.
There is no extension to that. There is no asterisk to that.
Nope.
It's a period, point blank.
Yeah.
Now hold on. I'm glad you said that. But I thought he said thou shalt not murder. Now, there's a lot of contradictions. I did my little research on this now.
Thou shalt not kill. Kill means the ending of a life. Thou shalt not kill. Period. Mm-hmm. There's no just in case. Well, if somebody does, No, doesn't say any of that. You know, not incidental, not accidental. Thou shalt not kill. You shall not, with intent, bring the end of someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that's
mm-hmm.
not compromised on. That is what it is. Now, that's not saying that's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what,
mm-hmm.
that's what's in the word. I said where to go find it. Don't
mm-hmm.
not take the word on it. That's what it
yeah.
says.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hold on. Now, me personally, I'm a flawed individual, and I would never tell somebody to follow me contrary to following God's word.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
If somebody that I loved or I cared about was in harm's way, and I'm interceding in that effort, and the only way to save their life was to take the life of another, I couldn't tell you that I wouldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Me personally. I can't tell you that, no, I wouldn't end someone else's life to spare someone that I loved. I can't tell you that I wouldn't.
Okay.
That's me. I wouldn't say that, you know, to save my own life, I would not exchange with some brother, and perhaps because, well, I'm not the littlest of dudes, weakest of the dudes, or less thorough of dudes. So it might actually happen where I take somebody out in defending of myself. Not saying
mm-hmm,
that I wouldn't
mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, like I said, there's acts of war where, you know, two countries, you know, you're bombing somebody. What did Cat Williams say? They called them insurgents? Or readily identifiable? You know, that these things do occur and do happen. Is it justified? Well, the word justification just depends on the eyes of whom you're talking to. What might be justified to me if, okay, let's say I killed somebody in defense of my home and my loved ones. Eddie, you might say, D, you absolutely right. If it was me, I would have got him too.
Mm-hmm.
Wayne could just easily say, you know, nah, man, that's just wrong. You can't
mm-hmm.
you can't give a life, so you shouldn't take one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pick out another way to stop them without killing somebody. I could definitely not say that he would be wrong for saying that to
mm-hmm.
me.
Right.
So, I mean, like I said, justification, it depends on whose eyes that you're putting it in. For me, murder is murder and murder is wrong. Killing someone is wrong, flat out wrong, dead wrong. Can I say that I, underneath certain circumstances, wouldn't? No.
Mm-hmm,
point
mm-hmm.
one. No, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and tell you, you know, that's wrong, the word says it's wrong, and I would never do it. That would
mm-hmm.
be a lie.
I'm not going to lie to y'all.
Of course not.
Dude, and you're a man of God.
So, you know, that's what the word says. Me personally, underneath certain circumstances, I do see it. Now, as far as stuff like, you know, we can go into like the death penalty, we can go into, you know, we can go into this stuff. There's a lot of meat on this bone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's everybody else feeling about it? Because, I mean, that's my basic feelings on the subject. But like I said, there's a lot of meat on this bone, so let's kick it around a little bit.
Well, I definitely think, I mean, just listening to you, it definitely sounds like something that to you, I mean, just listening to you, it sounds like definitely something that you've kind of just sat on the topic and just, like, thought about it. I mean, I can definitely tell that. But I'm very interested to hear what Eddie had to say, because I did a little research. You know, and it's just crazy with this the self-defense laws that they have, or they call stand your ground laws. I looked into the laws, and it's just crazy because the homicide rate more than doubled and tripled when certain states allowed that to happen.
Yeah.
So everybody, that's a defense. Everyone's using the defense. Oh, I had to defend myself. So the homicide rate shot up through the ceiling, but that's the one that goes reported. But, you know, go ahead, Brother Eddie.
Honestly, this topic, when I read this, it caused me to reflect in a manner that I hadn't reflected in years. I mean, to the point where I even considered being absent today when I read what the topic was. Because I was like, man, I don't even see how this is going to be a long show. I mean, I was like, I don't see where at all where killing somebody can be justifiable. I was like, how long can the show be? Then I started digging in, and I actually went a little further and said, well, hell, I'm probably the reason why this topic happened, because I do remember last week reading the promo of my show, or the verbiage, where I was like, you thought he was a hideous or heartless killer until you realized that the people that he killed molested and killed his four-year-old daughter. So I'm like, dang, did I plant that seed? And then I even started reflecting more, and it actually it caused me to realize my maturity and where I am now, which also, like Daryl was referring to, shows my alignment with God, because you're talking to a person who my family members would never, at one point in time, I don't even know if that still stands, but my family members or immediate family, mom and sisters and stuff, would never tell me of anything or anyone harming or hurting them, just for the sheer fact that they knew that more than likely that was going to be my end-all, be-all, the topic of this daggone show, without a question. That's something I didn't mind going to jail for. I would care less what they threw at me. Is you don't mess with my family. You can mess with me, but you cannot mess with my family. They would keep stuff for secrets from me for years, because they knew how I am in regards to family. Having me on the show and talking about this, and Daryl talking about hypocritical. I'd be hypocritical just in the sense of saying no, you shouldn't, because I've partaked in telling people or having people taken care of just in my past alone. This like I said, this one stretched me, but again it helped me realize where I am, because at a time where there's no question, I would immediately say no. If somebody said something to my family members or did something to my family, they're done. Now it's like, that's not where I am in my life. I teeter-totter with the different scenarios and all that stuff, and come to the conclusion that, dang, okay, if I did take a person's life because they harmed somebody in my family, there's also a possibility of retaliation. There's also a possibility of me not being able to protect them anymore after I protected them one time, going that route, which leaves them open for more attacks. Right. It's so many different things. And like I said, where I am in alignment with God and where I sit in love, I'm just not there anymore.
I mean, I see where you guys are coming from, because – along with this topic, I mean, I had a little difficulty as far as trying to, like, kind of digest it at first. But I remember when we talked about topics, you know, before, prior, I believe me, Eddie said it, then I think, Eddie, you did put the seed out there earlier. But, you know, even I think the most holiest of man, because we're all not perfect. We're all not perfect. We as humans, right, we are just born to error. We've been born to sin regardless. So, with that being said, if someone took out my whole family and you're asking me to turn the other cheek, I lost my whole family because someone took out my whole entire family, I can't honestly say that I wouldn't take care of that matter.
I can't say that I wouldn't either. That's not the question that's being posed.
I mean, I understand where you come from. And I think when you think about the subject matter, think about the safety of your family first in your decision-making. But, no, the different film compared to different people out here now, like some of our young people and old people just killing for no reason, where you stepped on my shoe or, you know, you cut me off while I was driving. That's not justified.
You see, and that's where the problem lies, Nas, in the statement that you said. Because what you just did was you validated your justification. And I guarantee that person that talks about getting cut off or their shoe being stubbed or anything can just as equally be passionate about their justification as you had. And that's
what
I
understand.
No,
I understand that, what you're saying. What can drive me to that point? In my mind, in my heart, what can drive me there to say, you can't tell me? Now, I understand other people may have their own perception, and, you know, I felt I was in the right because he cut me off. My kid was in the car. That's him. And, you know, and he'll be judged on that. At the point that I said, this is me. I'm not saying I'm creating no premeditation thoughts in my mind. I'm just saying what can drive me to that point, and that was if I lost my entire family. At that point, I don't look at no judging. I don't even care the results because my thing is you took my life away from my family. I have enough to protect.
No, you're missing it. I totally agree, and I personally, I think I probably would be at that place, but the question posed is it justifiable? No. That is the answer, plain and simple. It doesn't matter where our emotions lie, where our justifications lie in our minds or our morals or what have you, whether it's religion, going to war, because that is what we signed for in the military, it's never justifiable. It's never justifiable.
I'm glad you said that. But unfortunately, we're in a society where other people's on a jury, other judges, our political government, they make determinations of whether a certain crime or killing is justifiable or not, whether they're going to be innocent or guilty, even though we're now saying morally, look, there's no justification in it. But yet we live in a system that has juries and other people determine whether what you're doing is justifiable.
I agree. That doesn't make it right. Or
Because on one end, we have the morality aspect of, you know, it's not right, flat out. We all agree to that point. Right? I'm pretty sure there's a lot of listeners can agree to that. But what gives us rights as humans and just citizens to justify other people's actions? You know, like, for example, in the state of, New Jersey, my understanding is there is no self-defense law. There is none. You kill someone, you're going to pay for it, period. That's it. That's all. There's no justification in it. But yet, the same situation down in Florida, there's a self-defense situation. Mm-hmm. You can use it as your what's the name, and ask to go to court and get cleared from it.
Yeah, now check this out. Now let's analyze that scenario that you brought up. In Florida, that self-defense law is oftentimes used in a manner where black people don't get it. It doesn't go through for them.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right.
So a lot of laws are used or implemented to protect certain people, but not everybody. And that's, again, back to where I'm going. Everybody's going to justify things. It's no different from, you know, weed is going to give you a harder time than coke. Sometimes, like, they'll put laws in place just to affect certain people and protect the quote-unquote their people, just so that they can say something is in paper that prevents you from getting away with whatever they want to and allows them to get away with whatever they're trying to get away with. In the end, it's going to be a lot of what ifs and people's personal decisions. And that's why if we just decide that, you know, it's not justifiable and come to a conclusion as a people, less things will be done. I mean, because you know that person that is premeditating this whole it was self-defense thing, that's not going to be an option, so they're going to have to think a little harder about the decision that they're about to make. It forces you to think and just make better decisions. But when you have options that can get you away with, kind of like my father, he in his mind, he had ways that he felt he can get away with what he had premeditated, and it was obvious that he did, based on his logic and the setup of his crime. And that's what people are going to do if we just try to make justifications for the stuff that we do. And, hell, you're bringing gang in there. You just said family. Do those people that are in gangs not feel that those other people are family?
Of course they do, because in their minds, in the lifestyle of the gangs, they feel, well, this is my family. I got to put my family in revenge. You know, that's the whole other fact. I see what you're saying, definitely on that one. I mean, in their mind, they think it's correct. But yet, also, some of those laws are enacted because you have people that are involved in gang activities, and they you can also be charged with being involved in a gang if they deem you a gang. I think in New Jersey, it's three or more people organize the crime. I think that's the definition, you know, if I'm paraphrasing, excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're totally right. But I just want to share this part with you. I'm sitting here going through these notes here. It says the so-called this came from New York Post, self-defense kills in U.S. nearly doubled from 2000 the 2012 statistics shows now, so-called justifiable homicides nearly doubled from 2000 to 2010. Over that same period, a total killings averaged roughly 16,000 a year, according to state figures. And what's happened is now is like, you know, since these people are using this justifiable self-defense killings, the crime rate has the homicide rate has tripled in those states compared to the states that has a flat line. Look, it's not justifiable. Period. You're going to get charged. Their stats basically stay relatively a little high or low, but basically on the average stay the same. I mean, right. You know, is there a reason now, for that? You know, in your interpretation,
see,
guys.
Now, all right, I love playing with stuff like this. there's several factors that are just disregarded. And as of right now, for one, we're in a recession. That's something that can cause the murder rate to rise, or crime rate to rise, or whatever. People fighting over territories, all that stuff like that. That can definitely be that could do it. I can even let's go so far as to do this. People say that when Clinton was in office, I love playing with stuff like this. When Clinton was in office, the crime rate was at its lowest compared to a lot of other things. That's what was stated about Clinton, and they gave him props for and his presidency for that. Now, if you rewind 20 years prior to Clinton getting into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
That was the year that talking about killing, this is going to be interesting too, talking about that the abortion law had, the legalization of abortion was accepted and allowed. Now, why do I say that?
I see where you're going.
Based on the studies of the type of people that would have abortions, they were low income, people that didn't have two fathers, African American, basically the economics wise, they could not afford to pay for the stuff. Which in turn, those are the type of people who would end up doing crimes, killing. And all that stuff. So if you went back 20 years from that is when the killing of those type of potential future people was allowed to happen, which many can argue that because that happened, it prevented the crime rate from being high during Clinton's his time in the White House. We can play with different factors all the time and make one seem like the other. Whether it's true or not, we really don't know. All we'll have is the numbers that they gave us and our opinion. But whether that makes it truth or accurate, who knows? I really couldn't tell you. And that's the only reason why I threw that in there, because it could definitely be a correlation.
No, I agree. I hear you on that one.
So there's a lot of different factors that are going on right now that could cause that number to jump as well. Like we are in a recession right now, and immediately when you are in a recession, crime goes up. That's a given.
Survival decision.
You don't have to look that up. So when you have factors like that going on, people don't have no jobs, so they robbing and killing and all that stuff like that. People getting angry because they don't have jobs, so their tempers are real short. It's a lot of things that can cause people to snap off at this day and age, and to just blame it on a clause that was removed. I'm not convinced.
No, I hear you, brother Dow. I mean, I know you got something on this, brother.
Yeah. Look, the bottom line is this: like you said, the moral standpoint of this, I don't think that could be argued. That can't be debated. It's just wrong. From a human standpoint, I can see where a person could snap.
Mm-hmm.
There's a saying, everybody has a price.
Yep.
Everybody does. Everybody has a threshold. Everybody has a point where you can push them. Now, some people's point is a lot farther than others.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Whether it be based off of education, whether it's based off of economic circumstance, some people are just plain vicious. No matter how much they have, no matter how mature they are, they're just vicious. That's also that equation. Evil is just evil. You can't really do much with it. It is what it is.
No, you're right. You're right.
So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of different platitudes why people feel that they're justified. Now, let's go to the stand your ground rules or laws, like in Florida.
Okay.
I think Florida has it, Texas has it, Minnesota has it, and I believe there's five other
states. West Virginia has it.
But those are the three that stand out in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Stand your ground means that you have the right to defend your life with lethal force. But not necessarily do you need now I'm not going to say anything about anybody's abilities to be able to shoot a gun. I'll say my own. I do know how to use a weapon. I know how to use a gun. Now, I can shoot you in the leg, I can shoot you in the arm, or I can blow your head off. Those are all choices.
Yeah.
If I want to stop you, if I shoot you in the kneecap, I guarantee you're not going anywhere. I shoot you in the kneecap, I guarantee. You're not thinking about getting me, you're not thinking about anything, about how bad your knee hurts. You got both hands on your knee, and you rolling on the ground.
No,
I'm done. It's over. There's nothing else going on here. Matter of fact, I'm ready to take care of somebody else if somebody else got something to say about it. But it's in the character of the individual. So, like with, like when you Trayvon Martin, you know, you're afraid of a teenage boy, you know, that you're in the middle of a scuffle with, that you got to put three in his chest. I mean, basically, it's just vindication, and it's validation, not vindication, but validation for you to do what was in your heart in the first place.
Good point.
It's simple. If you thought the kid was, you know, he was on you, once you got him up off you, one shot in the kneecap, he's done. You know, he'll never play basketball ever again in life, but, you know. You saved your own life or whomever's life you were trying to save. You're not worried about being a threat, moving right along. You only use one shell. That's it. But like I said, people, it's like what people say about alcohol or drugs. Like alcohol is liquid courage. When somebody's drunk and they say something to you, foul, or you know, they say something to a woman that's very suggestive, et cetera, et cetera. It's because that's the way they're feeling about it. That's how they actually feel. Now, they're going to blame it on the alcohol.
Then that Jamie Foxx, let's go.
No, that's what you meant. You know, that's what you want to say. You know that it either isn't politically correct to say it. You know somebody will beat your behind for saying it. You know, there might be consequences behind you saying it. But you're drunk, you can blame it on the alcohol.
Yeah.
Same thing with stand your ground. I hate this SOB anyway. So,
but
let me put you.
No, I'm sorry, brother. I'm sorry. You just brought a point. I'm writing this stuff down.
No, let me just put you in the dirt. You know, plain and simple. I'm going to put you in the dirt. You're about to take a dirt nap. Now,
oh, damn.
When the cops come, I was scared, officer. I wasn't expecting this. I just so happened to have a Glock on me at the time. Dumped out on me. Oh, Lord. So I didn't know what. I didn't realize that was a hairbrush. I thought it was a gun. So far in which that is what happened. Now, if I was a little lighter than what I am, with straight hair.
Watch it now.
9 times out of 10, I'll be in the precinct and out of the precinct before somebody can come back with some more donuts.
Mm-hmm. So what are you saying, brother?
Looking like I am. I think I said it rather well. Looking like I am. Being the brother that I am, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be in the jail, under the jail, and it's going to be a while before you see me out of jail.
Mm-hmm.
If it's me, or you. And 9 times out of 10, most of the brothers, not saying there's only brothers listening to this, but if you happen to be African-American going through this, you are definitely not getting out.
Say it, brother. Say it. Thank you. I was waiting for someone to say it.
If you're African-American, you're not. If you're Latino, I don't like your eyes either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, brother, for saying it.
I'm telling you, definitely, you ain't going nowhere. So is that justified? Like I said, it depends on whose eyes are you referring to. Like
yeah.
the original thing I said, the most important thing really ain't my opinion. My opinion don't matter where it stops.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only person's opinion that I care about is my king's opinion. My king tells me point blank, no, I can't do it. Since I can't do it, that's my answer.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? No, it's no. It's wrong, it's wrong. If I'm out of here, I'm out of here, so I can't do it. But,
yeah, I mean,
Is it wrong? Absolutely. Positively. Would I do it? Perhaps. But because I do it, I'm going to tell you, don't be a dummy. If I'm jumping off a bridge, don't mean you got to go with me.
Yeah. And I mean, yeah, in the end, man, I'm confident. I can do it and come up with a great reason that might convince the jury as to why I did it. I have that type of mind. And I more than likely I will convince myself,
brother?
But it would still be wrong, and that's all I'm saying. And not to mention, like I said, where I am now. I mean, you're talking about somebody. You know, my cup ran its over. I'm going off, but that my cup was a symbol. Now I have a big goal. So I'm more. You know, it's more stuff that I can take and I can chew on and whatever. It takes a lot for me to get to that point now, and that's called. To me, maturity and education,
mm-hmm.
knowing who I am, understanding how people can be. And people are looking at me like I'm crazy for the most part in the decision-making, because there's people that are trying to attack me all the time, and I'll explain to them what the other person's feeling, why they're doing it, to where I'm like, it's okay, it's cool. I understand why they're doing it. They're doing it this way. They're scared, da-da-da-da-da,
mm-hmm.
and I can break down why they're doing it as opposed to, they told me that because they want to see the old Eddie go off and do whatever. You know what I'm saying? They're looking for that.
Right.
They're looking for that edge. My eyes would get all big for me to bite my lip, my bottom lip, and smack somebody or whatever.
He said bite
but,
the bottom lip.
that was the cue. They knew someone's about to have it. If I bit my lip, you better duck. Whoever was around me, they was like, all you got to watch is the bottom lip. He bite his lip, he is about to slap you. So my cup has grown to where I'm just not, that's not me. That's not me anymore. But like I said, I'm confident that I can conjure up a very, very good explanation why I would have done something and made it seem really convincing. But in the end, I'll be dead wrong. There's so many things, I mean, if we want to talk about religion and stuff like that, there's so many things that can come from the loss of a life or be that are in the honor of someone's loss that
mm-hmm.
I personally think were created just to provide an opportunity for those things. Did someone lose their life? Yeah. Is it sad? Yeah. But so many other lives can be saved because of that lost life if it's done correctly. And that's where I am. That's the place that I'm at in my life. What can I use? What can I do with this opportunity to get a message out? Because right now this is a mess, but tomorrow this can be a message if I do it right.
Wow,
so,
very well said. I like that. I like that, brother. I like that. Because, I mean, you're helping a lot of people understand certain things, and a lot of people, like, you know, there's some people that has not matured yet spiritually or, you know, mature-wise, just in general. Yeah, they don't understand. Yeah. There's consequences. You got to think before you do something. You really have to. You really have to. But, you know, I want to go to the DJ set real quick, but I definitely want to come back because you touched on something. I know we're going to piss some people off, but that's what we do here. We're going to kind of borrow your terminology. We're going to get to the root of it. Yeah. Now, you got abortion. We got abortion. We're going to go there. Yes, we are going to go there.
Yeah.
We have to go there. People don't understand. You know, the what was that? What's that agency? Planned Parenthood was created by a white woman to don't get me started because me and Mister talk about it all the time. It was created to try to stop, you know, black women from having children. But people don't understand it. I'm gonna get that information when we come back. But we gotta go there, brother, because you know we say it's not justifiable, but yet we created in the system that's out here now that they say, okay, get an abortion, it's okay. It's okay to get an abortion. It's okay to do this. I'm not. Hey, listen, to each his own. I mean, you know, it's all the listeners. I'm not telling you what to do. We're not trying to, you know, this is just our own opinions. We're not experts at it. We're just speaking from our own opinions. Everyone has their own opinion. We're just keeping it real from our own opinions.
Man, nah, stop doing all that. We don't care what y'all
think. I'm gonna say it's my opinion because you know I'm not gonna speak for nobody else. I'm not speaking for you, down, high, nobody else.
None of us are. Huh? We speaking from our hearts, what we think, what we feel. What you take from it is on you. You want to be sensitive about what we got to say, turn off the radio.
But I still have to appease the listeners because it's about our listeners. The listeners, the followers that have been checking out the show and showing us the love. And we appreciate you. I mean,
real
listen.
People, man, that want the truth.
Listen, man, I know they're real people, but you still got to show respect, brother. You still got to bow down and show respect.
I show respect in the manner that I'm not going to tell them anything that I think will harm them. Or hurt them. It might hurt when you hear it, but it's out of love, and my intent is what provides you with the respect. I'm not going to try to sugarcoat what I'm trying to say to you because it might hurt your feelings, or you're not going to follow me as a listener anymore. Not doing it.
That's what you do. And me as a show producer, my job is to make sure that we keep the listeners intrigued. Listening and respect. That's me. That's just me. That's me. You know, what what I do is different, but you know, that's just my thoughts. Brother Eddie has a more straight from the, you know, I'm gonna just punch you in the gut and stab you in the nuts.
But I'm gonna make sure you live because we ain't all about that killing.
See, you know what? You say, you know what? I'm done, Brother Dow. You hear this?
Yeah, I'm right here.
You know, I'm trying to make sure we take a listen. He's like, damn their feelings. I'm like, no, hold up. Wait a minute, son. Oh, man, y'all are hot mess, Brother Dow, man. Listen, we're going to go to the DJ break real quick. I know when we come back, I know you got to go and you have something you have to tend to a little later on. We're not going to do this too long, but we're going to come back. We want to address the abortion.
All right.
Abortion and war.
Bet.
Abortion and war. I mean, because there's war. We got they put guns in 18 and 19 year old hands and expecting them to think rational and go into war. You put a gun in my 18 year old son's hand. He can be like, hold up, wait a minute. I just watched Men of Society. Hold up, wait a minute. You know, so let's talk about when we come back. So let's go to my man Crazy K. He's going to be rocking for us a little bit, and we're going to come back to this. And once again, you listen to the Man Up Show. Oh, big shout out to Sig. I know you're listening. Big
for
shout
sure.
out to my man Michael Ellis. My man, I know you're checking us out. Love you, man. Always love you. For life, always. Yeah, Mike Real. Mike, if you get out a minute, man, hit me up, bro. But listen, DJ Crazy K, do what you do, brother. We'll see y'all in about 10 minutes. Peace.
You're now rocking with Crazy K in the booth. Now rocking with DJ Crazy K in the booth.
Yeah. burning sensation, getting closer to God. In a tight situation now, take these words home and think it through. Or the next rhyme I write might be about you, son. They shook. This ain't no such thing, halfway crook. Scared to death and scared to look, they shook. This ain't no such thing, halfway crook. Scared to death and scared to look. Living the life that is diamonds and guns. There's numerous ways you can choose to earn funds. Some get shot, locked down, and turn nuts. Cowardly hearts, they straight up shook one, shook one.
What you trying to do?
Yeah, you're in the hall, poppy, say what? That's the man.
with his manager Chris and the label to jam. Still flossing, showing your rock. Ain't you dudes heard Grimy, man, we sold your watch. And it go Indian style, deep bent and die cheeky. Trap with the baby, baby, BT. You get the bar, looking good in brown dress. More than six, and I'm dating around yet. What's not all thugged out loud and clear? Step, a straight henny, just grab me a beer. You see I'm repping now, and my mommies, I got a now. Got them clowns at their feet, they hot stepping out. Cause I don't like, I'm like a hammer that you hold in your hand. I make hits at the white boy club while I'm buying the bar. They like, hey now, you're an all-star. They go,
homeboy, I came to party. Your girl was looking at me. She's a haggler, no, I'm not tagging her. But you don't want them boys to come over and start asking you what you wanna do, what you trying to do, what you wanna do, what you trying to do, trying to do.
Now rocking with Crazy Kids in the booth.
I'm getting jacked, I'm breaking myself. I can't believe They taking more as well. They took my rings, they took my Rolex. I looked at the brother, said, damn, what's the name?
Yeah, what's going on, everybody? We are back. Big shout out to my man DJ Crazy K for rocking the hip hop after work party here, the Man Up Show. What's going on, guys? We back?
Yeah.
Yeah, my man K had to go in a little bit. He's about to go to work, but he says shout out to all the brothers. You know, he's doing what he's doing, man. So we're back. So we're going to go into this topic real quick, abortions. Who would be the perfect person to kind of get this party started?
It doesn't matter. I'm fine with going in on this topic. Honestly, this is another one that's touchy for me. When you throw in rapes and stuff and somebody having to raise a child that looks exactly like the person that raped them for the rest of their life, that's like, that's somebody's decision that I would leave somebody else's decision. To kill somebody because to take a life because you haven't been using protection and you just been all willy nilly with your good. That's a whole nother topic. That just goes back to what we were talking about earlier. There's gonna always be different ways that you can rationalize or try to justify something or what have you. But I mean, in the end, could there be a great ending to a story? Are there great endings to stories that align with people that have been raped and went through with the child? I'm confident if we dig hard enough. Probably when they have to dig hard enough, we'll find good stories. Are there stories where people consider getting abortions and their child ended up being a serious success and a blessing for them? Yes, I hear those all the time. You got the Nick Cannon. you have a lot of different people that are successful or have just been such a blessing to their parents who were really, really going to go through with the abortion who for some reason they listened to that tug in their heart and didn't go through with it. And another thing I learned about abortions, I'm not sure if everyone does it, but I was told that a lot of places do it. They actually show you a tape of how the baby is killed and all that stuff before you go through it. So you got to be a very strong, strong-minded just a strong-willed person to go through a procedure like that after seeing that it is a live seed in you and all that. And I don't know. This is, like I said, it's difficult. There's so many different ways you can attack this this form of killing, because either way, it's killing. I just don't know how many blessings have been missed out on because of the tragedy. Like I said, a message out of your mess. This it's a tough one for me. I could never say that someone shouldn't do it. I can say that that it is taking a life, and like we said at the beginning of the show, and I can't change my mind. Or no, I can change, but I won't change my mind in saying that it's just not right to take a life. Just not right.
Okay, Brother Dow, the question swings to you. We got Brother Dow still online, or do we lose him? I think he may have a little technical difficulties. He'll get back to us shortly.
Okay.
But, Getting back to the top, I mean, it is a touchy topic. No matter how you put it, no matter how you try to spin it, I've heard both strong points on both sides. You know, how can you bring a life in if you're not even, you can't even take care of yourself? You subject your this child to, you know, just craziness. The mother's either on heroin, PCP, got AIDS, you know, full-blown AIDS, pregnant. I mean, just so much other stuff, or you know, this baby's gonna come out just disfigured and just know it's gonna have a rough life. One lung. I mean, I've heard every story possible. is from the pros and cons.
Personally,
I think it comes down, me personally, it's individual choice. And are you prepared to make a decision on something, especially abortion? And, you know, if you make that decision, I believe that's a choice. The ramifications or the results, I'm not God, I'm not a judge. That's a bigger picture beyond me. Me personally, that's a choice. I really don't have an opinion, I guess, whether it's wrong or right. I just got to say it's a choice because I'm not in that situation. And God bless and shout out to all the women who's done this or gone through it or thought about it. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. For me, it's a choice. For you, mm-hmm. it's a choice at the end of the day. Because like you said, you know, brother, you said that they show you a video. I'm pretty sure you talk about it. Hopefully, you talk about it with people.
Because
you got some,
scary.
You got some young ladies out here who do it without no remorse. They just go through. I mean, it's crazy. I know. Oh man, when I used to mentor some young ladies in the high schools and men, you know, me and Miss Kirkland, I would hear the stories that some of these young girls would just do it without no. Like, no soul. Like, you know what? I had a five already. I'm like, really? Really?
And that's what I mean by, you know, if you are out there just having unprotected sex or what have you and taking these lives away, that I just have a different type of empathy for you than that person who was raped and decided to say, I can't do this. But at the same token, there's also other options. You can also put that child up for adoption if you don't want to see it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
There's other options that, like I said, and if I'm pretty sure he'll correct me when he comes back, but knowing how Daryl is based on how I know him and thus far and how he tends to go towards the biblical aspect, I'm almost confident he's going to say that God says, before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, which means that you were alive before you were in that child, in that person's stomach, because there's so many debates as to whether the child is really alive and all that stuff before they're or when they're in the stomach, which makes the abortion or what have you legitimate or not quote unquote killing. So if I was to assume with Daryl's thought process or his response would be, I would think he would go somewhere around there where, like I said, and the Bible says before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you, which is evidence that you were supposed to have some kind of life or what have you. But unfortunately, that choice was made by someone else that felt that, I don't want to say you don't deserve. I can say that their life was more important than yours.
I'm glad you said that. I got a text from, let me see, I guess it's Brooklyn. I got the identification from Brooklyn. It looked like they were trying to say Kima. Kima is basically saying, with the justified killing, is it more of a person's morality? I guess she's saying morality. Compared to them not having moral standards? I mean, is it more of a moral? I mean, is that the individual? If a person has a foundation of moral standards, would they think about, you know, not killing someone compared to someone who doesn't have no spirituality or moral standards?
Honestly, to be perfectly honest with you, I say no. And I'm gonna tell you like this. When you talk about me, and I think this is why I get along so well with people, and people are oftentimes receptive to me because I think there's good in everybody. I don't care what your exterior is. I don't care what your response is. I think in the root of every person there is good. We just have to peel back the layers to get to that good. And I think I do think that because of their life and their life experiences, they have train themselves to push that good way deep down to where they don't feel anymore. But I think even with those people, there is hope in finding that good in them. And there's still some type of method or a time where they're getting some kind of tug at the heart, but they've trained themselves to to disregard it and just move on. I mean, even in the military, they train you to have a certain type of mindset or what have you, especially like Navy SEALs and all that stuff. You go through training to shift your mindset and how you feel and how to disconnect yourself with certain things. And I just personally think that people, they don't go through the professional process of getting it done, but they do train themselves to get it done the way that they see fit. A good example, like with me, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a person that gets excited about anything because in my life, I've been disappointed so many times. So I've trained myself to not get excited about anything, and I've created a defense mechanism to prevent me from ever being disappointed again. I call it gain or break even. What do I mean by gain or break even? If you tell me something, Nas, is something going to happen, Eddie, I'm going to do this for you, I don't believe you. Off the top, I don't believe you, don't trust you, or whatever. So when you don't do it, I've broken even because I didn't expect for it to happen anyway. If you do do it, I gained because I never expected you to do it anyway. I have just prevented myself from ever being disappointed or hurt again. There's different ways that people train themselves to not feel certain things or whatever. And like I say, which is the reason why I don't watch TV, especially the news, unless it's like pre-recorded and I know what it is that I'm watching, because we get so desensitized with the things that they're showing, and a lot of times it's intentional to where we'll see the story about a boy being molested and it doesn't bother us because we just saw it last week. We've been seeing it for the last few weeks. We're like, dang, another bombing? Dang, another school? Okay, the world's coming to – what is the world coming to? We say it, but we don't really feel it because we're still thinking about it just happened last week. So when you get to a point where those things don't bother you, they don't tug at your heart, you have trained yourself by how much you watch it and think about it and stuff like that to no longer have any kind of feeling for it anymore. So
wow. I'm glad you actually brought that up. And, you know, it's crazy because you said something. And, you know, for the listeners just checking the show, the Man Up Talk show, we were talking about justified killing. Is it the fact because we live in a society that if we have forgot to even look at the fact that what's justified is not justified? Because, like you said, we're so used to what unjustifiable behavior, like the killing.
Yeah.
We're used to it. We see it every day in the news. They glorify it.
Mm-hmm.
you don't see the other side of someone saying, hey, look, this is wrong. You don't see that.
Yeah.
I mean, you see the what I call the response from the incident. But you don't see the education beforehand. You don't see the education that's put in front. I mean, damn, you kind of put it out there, bro. We live in society right now. We're so damn used to it that we don't even address issues like this. We don't. I think that was perfect. Well put, bro. Well put.
Because Nas, when it becomes the norm, it's nothing to deal with.
Eddie, I mean, why, man? I mean, why has it got to be like this? I mean, damn.
Because we let so much of it slide by, we let it slowly become the norm that we don't realize that it's a problem. A guy that I was talking to earlier in the week, man, we hadn't talked in probably about 9 months, man, and he talked to me, and we just discussing about different things. One was a discussion about me and the relationship with me and my son's birth father. Me and him, we had some serious issues in the beginning, but now our relationship is you might call and ask me, yo, what you about to do, what you getting into? And I'll say, oh, me, my son, and his father, we about to go to the movies to see a certain movie. And they be like, what? You about to do? Who does that? Or they be like, well, what are you about to get into? Me, my son, and his father, we about to go to the wreck, and we about to do it. They like, what? What is wrong with you? Who does that? And he said to me that what I do is, he said, the world is so jacked up that what I do is considered different, but it's considered bad when it's really good. Whereas there was a time when I would do the things that I'm doing now, and it was considered different, but it was considered the right thing to do. Right now, what I'm doing now is considered different and considered the wrong thing to do because the world is so jacked up.
That's right. No, so, you're right. No, say it, bro.
So, and
that's what's going on right now. The world is so jacked up that what would be considered right would be wrong to most people, as opposed to, like, no, this is, like, where we're supposed to be. That's why I'm so adamant in my message. That's why I quickly say, now, I really don't care how you feel about what I say, because I know what the intent in my heart is behind what I'm saying, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that this is truth. And if we just took the time to take this method or take this course or this lane, that we could really make an impact on the world and start making changes. That's why I'm so passionate about to the root of it. That's why I'm so passionate about just this show in particular and anything that I put my name on, because I know if you give me the opportunity to use a platform to potentially make a change, I'm going to take it. I'm taking it. And I don't care whose feelings I got to hurt, but if I hell, I was just talking to my wife earlier. I said, babe, the biggest compliment that I could get is a F you. And she was like, what?
Well, you know you get a couple of those from me at least.
but the biggest compliment that I can get is a F you, because if I get you to say F you, that means you got it. You just pissed that I gave it to you. Because I've taken any other response that you had away from me to the point where you just had to say, F me. If that makes you feel better, but you still got it, I'm fine with you F-ing me. But I just want you to get it. That's all I care about. I don't care how you get it. If that's a Malcolm X in me, by any means necessary, I'll do it through a sneaky story or whatever, or I'll just trip you up with your own words and to get that F you. But I don't care. I just want you to get it.
See, I mean, that's the beautiful thing about who you are, brother. I mean, that it works for you. See, me personally, I care, but the reason why I care,
I
what
do
people
too.
Think. No, I know you don't. In your messages. No. Well, I mean, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase it, my brother. What I'm saying is, I care because I want to. It's called like an art of war tactic. I want to be able to get my message to you without you even knowing you got it. You know, they're like, damn, hold up, he went deep on me. My thing is I try to get into the mind, but I do it in a very subtle way. You may think you know I'm doing it, like, in a subtle way. Like, you know what, come on now. But then by the time in the conversation, you're like, damn, hold up, I got you, brother. Because I care for results. You know, I don't want to just talk. I don't want to just do things. I want to make action. And I hope and I pray that the listeners that's checking out the show, because you have, that's the beautiful thing about the panel. We have different men, different ways of how we approach situations. Because we're just average Joes. We're just average Joes, everyday heads that's trying to convey a message. And I think the fact remains that when you said justified killing, then you said, you know, it's kind of crazy you brought it back home. When you said that we're so used to what happens in the world as negative, we don't look at the positive. And we're so used to unjustifiable behavior and killing in this world and the news every day that we don't even look at the point and say, listen, hold up, what you're doing is not justified. We don't even explore that anymore.
Yeah,
we don't explore
it.
We don't talk about it no more.
Put it like this, man. It's like this. you get so caught up in the negative that the positive seems wrong. Think about the Martin Luther King movement. Everything about his movement was positive. Everything. Mm-hmm. And it just looked dead wrong, even to a Malcolm X, even to the Caucasian people, even to just black people who he was doing the movement for. It was just a stand to do what is right, because like I was saying earlier in the day, if we fight back, all they going to do is take another hour. That's why I loved the movie 42. I'm not sure if any of you all have seen it, but it's a wonderful movie where he said, "So you want me to be a coward by not fighting back?" He was like, "No, I want you to be like courageous by not fighting back," or something to that effect. But basically saying that it takes somebody of serious stature and character to not fight back with those words or hitting somebody back or whatever, and that is the person that's going to win, as opposed to the person that is like, oh, you hit me, I'm going to bust you in your mouth back or whatever. It's like when I speak or I have a debate, for one, I'll use another person's words against them. So I'm not making up my own words. I'm just using what you said. I had a young lady yesterday who told me I was an embarrassment to my culture, I think.
Whoa, hold up. Wait a minute. What?
She said I was an embarrassment to my culture.
Sorry. What was her color? What was her ethnic, you know?
She was black.
Nah,
I was
come on.
To my culture, and I was trying to bring her down, and she's experienced more in my life than I would ever experience in my lifetime or whatever, or at this moment. And I'm listening to her, and I couldn't help but laugh. There were so many things I could have done or just showed her, but it was not necessary because I used her words and I exposed her. And show her that everything that she was saying was actually a reflection of who she was, and just based off of her words. And I could have used so many other things and methods or whatever, but it wasn't necessary. It was not necessary for me to go where she went to win the battle. I just used what she used, not the method that she used. I used what she used in regards to her own words in a very diplomatic way. To make her realize that she's the one that looks stupid. She had a nerve to say that she was educated. And then I went back to the post, and she ended up erasing her whole page. And
she put it on her page.
Yeah, it was a dialogue back and forth. And so she, when I got up this morning and saw it, she was gone. She had left. So she removed all her comments and everything. So it was really interesting, man. But like I said, it's the stuff that we do, for one, I potentially robbing people of their truth, something that they was given or were given and thought was the reality or the truth, especially when they hit you with the line, "I'm an educated person." That means, so it translates to me that it's the books and knowledge that you gain from that institution that gave you that degree that allows you to feel that you are important or very smart because of that degree. Now, the only thing, my thing is, a lot of times when people fall on that statement or what have you, what I do find out is after you take away those books, all those books that they studied to get that degree or what have you, all the information that they got from the books, they have no thoughts of their own. Which makes them slaves to those books and those concepts. Which the funny thing about it is, if you read those books that you're reading, you'll notice that the copyright date has changed.
Good point.
It has changed. So they updated that information, and after you graduate, you still have that whatever book your foundation is built off. If you're not growing from there, you're stuck. You're jacked up and you're hurting. And you have nothing else, and I'm so trying to get people to move from just being stuck on those books, because what happens is the reality of life kicks in. When that degree that you thought was going to get you the job doesn't get you the job, and you're still putting out those resumes and stuff like that, it's time to think, because that book didn't do the job that you're supposed to do. And then you start getting discouraged and upset, but that bill still comes in. And then you start going to church. Then you start praying.
Then you
say
something on the church. Wow.
And I'm just saying, but you don't necessarily believe what you're listening to in church. You just think that that's the right way to go to try to get your life. And because you don't really believe, things don't start moving the way that you thought they was going to go. So you start, so you get a little more discouraged, and you still don't have any thoughts of your own. So you don't know how to make it through this situation that you're in, because all you have is those books that they gave you or whatever. But the books didn't teach you about life and what was going to happen when they didn't give you the job and all that stuff. So I want you to be able to think on your own and start to rationalize and figure out, what do I do with what I have, and what's the best result? Because so many people make the decision based on their right now. They're right now, and that's the danger of life. If you make a decision for right now, and which I'm going to bring it back home to the whole killing, because when we kill for that right now, as opposed to considering what after we kill right now, what's going to happen later on from that right now decision, man. And I just want to teach people to look past that, because if you make a decision with your eyes, man, you're easily fooled. You're equally fooled, so I need people to look deeper than their eyes so that they can make better decisions and we can have a better world in the future. So that's pretty much it, man.
Wow, well said, brother. I mean, you know, we're going to do something different tonight. I want to say before I make the special announcement, you know, I agree with you 110%. I mean, I have my different views. You know, I basically feel killing is wrong. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm not perfect by a long shot, because unfortunately, if I was put in a situation, I don't know what I would do, honestly. Now,
yeah,
would it be wise for me to kind of, you know, we all think about the ramifications if we do certain things. Why cannot we think about the ramifications if we get put in that situation? So when we face that situation, like, you know what, I thought about this before. Why can't we think about that? What if someone hurt my child? What am I going to do? You know, think about it. Think about it. So I say this to some of our listeners, because I try to now, me being a father, me being a husband, me being a person that has a family, I have to, all my actions are accounted for. So not only can I think about the positive, I have to think about the negative. So what I say by this is, I put myself in a dark place. Me, personally, I'm always thinking about scenarios. I'm always thinking about, what if I got put in this situation? How am I going to react? What am I going to do? Because it makes me sharper. That's how I program myself. I'm very strategy-oriented. You know, I'm always thinking about, what am I going to do if I get put in a situation, no matter whether it's work, job, situations, talk to people. I'm very analytical, you know, when I deal with people. So I tell some of my listeners, don't just think about, you know what, hey, look, you know, if somebody hit my family, what's going to happen? Think about the ramifications. Think about where you're going to belong. If someone hurts you or slaps your kid, you beat the brakes out of them and you kill them, you're locked up. Your kid is still free, and the mother of their child is still free. And you, like you said earlier in the show, you can't protect them. You're no longer there to protect them. So think about that when you make your actions. I know the people listening to the show say, oh, not me. You know, listen, man, think about it. Or even if you took your whole family out. I'm sorry to say that. And we probably have some listeners that it's happened to before. God forbid, you know, whatever. You still have other family. You have moms. You have your sisters and stuff like that. You whatever you do in life, you're going to affect someone else. You're going to affect someone else. Someone's going to get hurt, whether it's friends, family, your job. Someone's going to be affected. So, I mean, it's a hard decision. I mean, it's a rough decision. I think it's a choice. It's a situation. And honestly, me personally, I love, I think we had an earlier topic, only God can judge me. And I hope if I ever got put in a situation, if I made the wrong decision, I hope God can judge me. You know, I pray. And I honestly, I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but me personally, I pray that God can forgive any my past aggressions or things I've done in the past if I got put in that situation. That's me personally.
Nas, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. The only thing is, I look at it just slightly different from a tough decision to a tough opportunity. It's a tough opportunity for me to make, and every opportunity is hidden behind opposition. What is the opportunity that I have with this moment? Because in the end, okay, yes, you did say that. They got rid of your whole family, they killed your whole family, but you lived for a reason. You lived for a reason. They killed your whole family. You have a purpose. You lived for a reason. Apparently, unfortunately, their time has ended, but you lived for a reason. So now you've been given a difficult opportunity, not a decision to make, a difficult opportunity. What are you going to do with the information that you've given? It's so many things that we have in this world that we appreciate that were birthed out of opposition that has created opportunities for us, whether it's our cell phones, our TVs and all that stuff like that. All the perfect inventions that have come has come from us having bad situations. I stated before, the Amber Alerts and stuff like that, those all have been birthed from bad situations. The breast cancer awareness, that has all been birthed from bad situations. That was a young lady who, I believe they were twins, I believe. She was with her family when she was when she was diagnosed with cancer, and she stayed with her all the time, and they prayed and prayed and prayed, and she ended up dying anyway, and she just wanted to be an advocate for those who went through what she went through. So it caused the Coleman Foundation and stuff to be built. There's opportunity in your opposition, so it's just a tough opportunity, and it's the reflexes that we lack that prevent us from being blessed with the opportunity. My whole story is based off of
the opportunity that I took with all my opposition in my life. That's where my passion comes from. All the stuff that I went through has caused me to have passion for so many other people to prevent them from going through it. So I want to share the information that I've learned through my decision-making and my life experiences with others to prevent them from having to do it themselves and to strengthen their thought process so that it doesn't take them 30-some-odd years to come to the realization or the enlightenment that I've gained at this moment in my life. Because I dare to wonder where I would be at had I known the stuff that I know now many years ago. So I'm like, I want to empower children as well as adults with the current information that I have now so that they can look back and be like, dang, man, look what I've accomplished because of the mind that I have right now. So that's it.
Wow. Well said, brother. Well said. Definitely. You know, the special announcement I wanted to do, as everybody know, my brother Eddie is going to be starting, in the process right now of going to the root of it, the TV show. It's going down. It's
and radio
going down. And a radio show. I mean, I had to do the TV show first because we're going to be following that. What we're going to do for the next four weeks, along with the Man of Talk show, we're going to start the process of the pilot show. We're going to connect it. So you're going to get another half an hour, straight up Eddie. He's going to go over the thought of the day with you. We're going to test run it. Yeah, no, yeah, it's going down, brother. Sometimes, remember I told you, I throw you the alley-oop, you slam it. So what we're going to do, we're going to do a quick DJ set. And when we come back, you're going to hear the intro of To the Root of It, and Eddie's going to talk about the thought of the day, and we're going to get to the root of it. And Eddie, I'm going to let you go at it, brother.
Okay.
So here's the alley-oop. That's my surprise. God says, no, Nash, you gotta switch the game up. You gotta switch the game up. So that's what we're gonna do. So DJ Tracy K, give me a little bit of music and we're gonna come back in about 5 minutes and we're gonna go to the root of it. Premiere pilot show for the next 4 weeks and it's going down. And if we can't put the format together after this, damn it, shoot us in the head. So listen, man, we appreciate all the listeners. We're going to go to the quick set, DJ Crazy K, and we're coming back to the root of it. It's going down. The Man Up Talk Show.
I sit alone in my four-cornered room, staring at candles. When that shit is on,
you're listening to DJ Candles.
At night I can't sleep, I toss and turn. Candlesticks in the dark, visions of bodies being burned. Four walls just staring at a nigga. I'm paranoid, sleeping with my finger on the trigger. My mother's always stressing I ain't living right, but I ain't going out without a fight. See, every time my eyes close, I start sweating and blood starts coming out my nose. It's somebody watching the act, but I don't know who it is, so I'm watching my back. I can see him when I'm deep in the covers. When I awake, I don't see the motherfucker. He owns a black hat like I own, a black suit and a cane like my own. Some might say take a chill, B, but fuck that shit. There's a nigga trying to kill me. I'm popping in the clip when the wind blows. Every 20 seconds got me peeping out my window, investigating a joint for traps, taking my telephone for tests. I'm staring at the woman on the corner. It's fucked up when your mind's playing tricks on you.
And the world all right with me.
rock the Crazy K in the booth.
Decided based on the concept, you know, just something ain't right, man. And we're here to get to the root of what that is, so that we can make better decisions and become better communicators and just better people in general, so that we can just become a better community and a better world for ourselves as well as our children. With that being said, man, welcome to the root of it. Wow. Soon as this track calms down or ends, man, I'm gonna go into what the concept is, how it's gonna work out, and how you will play a part in to the root of it. Now that the music has stopped, to the root of it is basically just like the Man Up Show. It's a movement. It's a silent movement. It's a movement in which people aren't going to realize that, like Nas said, that they're learning. And that's just my approach because, you know, a lot of times when you tell somebody that you're teaching them something or they go into class, they don't really want to go. They immediately get disengaged and just don't want to follow through with it. But to the root of it, it's an entertaining approach, but also a panel or a foundation where you can use your voice to educate people as well. So this is going to be the concept of the show as well as the TV show. What's going to happen is I will be sending out surveys with a plethora of different scenarios whereby I'm going to be asking you all what your decision-making would be with that scenario. More than likely, it will have two different choices for you to choose from, and you're going to choose that choice. And after you make that choice, we want to hear, or you have to provide us with the because behind it. And what we'll find is, and based on those surveys, what I'm going to be doing is sifting through those surveys and finding out those people who have the most different polar decision-making process. Yet you guys will understand based on their background, because in the intro of the show, you will hear and understand that the background of that person. They might be black, white, Hispanic, young, old, depending on the generation, the children, single, whatever. And based on their because, you will realize that, okay, I might not have taken that route or made that decision, but because of their because, I can understand and relate and appreciate where they're coming from. So because this will happen, you will unconsciously begin to look at people with a different eye. What do I mean by that? Instead of you saying, man, that was stupid, or that person's trifling, or whatever, you are going to now say, I understand that thing don't seem right to me, but I wonder what made them do what it is that they did. That will invoke thought, that will in turn invoke conversation, and that will invoke people to make that extra step of trying to understand where you're coming from as opposed to concluding that you're dumb, that doesn't make any sense, I can't work with you, you're just being disrespectful, or that was common sense. I'm not sure if I explained that right, but in the end, the concept of the show is when you see it on TV, because it's coming. I'm going to have, and matter of fact, it might be you if you're listening, one of the people or the guests. I'm going to have surveys that are going to be dispersed, and with those surveys, there's going to be many scenario type questions. Maybe it might be abortion. And would you have an abortion if da 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 da? And through your response, I'm going to be looking for the two people that have the most different responses. Yet they're because is going to help you realize that at first, you know, I thought that was stupid, but when I got to the end of it, when we got to the root of their decision making, it made sense. Even though I probably wouldn't have gone that route, it makes sense to me why they did it. I think I was talking to Nas on the show last week saying, you know, it's kind of like an algebra problem. There's many laws and rules that we have that we are supposed to abide by, but some people come to a conclusion or an answer that they got because they didn't follow the law that was presented to them, but they can still explain to you how they got the answer. And by the time they get to you and say, oh, I see I got it wrong, but this is how I got my answer, when you follow their steps, you be like, oh, I see where you went wrong. You didn't do the stuff in the parentheses first. You're supposed to do the stuff in the parentheses first. So because of that, because you will slowly begin to realize based on different topics and different scenarios why people do the things that they do, which in turn will force you to stop judging people, to become better communicators, and because of the different philosophies and understandings of people's decision-making, you will now have more of appreciation for someone else's story as opposed to disregarding their decision-making process and making a judgment on them instead of communicating and possibly becoming a person that respects their views instead of someone who doesn't respect them at all as an individual. Since he threw out a thought of the day, let's go ahead and talk about the thought of the day. The thought of the day,
Brother Eddie, real quick. I apologize,
yeah,
real quick. But let's get the thought of the day.
Yeah.
Brother Darryl, you still online? Yeah, I got him online, but he's checking in.
Yeah, sure.
All right,
yeah,
now, we're good to go. I apologize, brother. I'm sorry, because I thought he was trying to get in. I'm looking at the line, the switchboard. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get back to the thought of the day.
Oh, okay. All right. My thoughts of the days are relationship-based, but you can always correlate them to something. And this would also be clearly a topic that can be addressed or people should consider. But the thought of the day reads as such. It says, imagine you are a chef and you finally landed the opportunity to prepare a meal for the person that you want to express your love for through the dish you made. You follow your recipe to the T, making sure the taste is just perfect for them. After you are finished cooking and present their meal to them, you watch with anticipation of how pleased they are going to be with their first bite. They look at the presentation, and it's evident that they are impressed. But right before they taste it, they reach over and grab the salt and pepper shakers and begin sprinkling the contents inside of them all over the plate. This is how your mate feels when you rob them of the opportunity to surprise you or show you that you can count on them. People do this by doing or making decisions that clearly state that they had no faith that their mate would or could do whatever it is that they wanted or needed done, especially when they haven't given them any reason to come to that conclusion. Oh, no, we don't have to do that. I already told my dad, and he said that he'll take care of it. I was talking to my mom about what was going on, and she suggested that, ... We can take the one you got me back. I already told the people at my job that I wanted one for Christmas and got it when we exchanged gifts for Pollyanna. Yeah, let's do it like that. That's what my friend said that we should do about it when I asked her. One of the worst things that you can do to your mate is treat them like a failure that you don't believe in before they even fail. That was the thought of the day. A lot of people deal with this. There's a lot of people that you had a great plan for your woman or your man, and they made a decision that kind of snatched the opportunity for you to do what it is that you were trying to do for them away because they assumed that you would not do what they wanted you to do. So now you got to tuck your little rinky-dink idea in the pocket or make it seem like you weren't going to do anything because they already had something done. Or they already asked someone else's opinion without even consulting with you what's going on. This is a serious topic. And like I said, my thoughts of the day are relationship-based. Everything dealing with to the root of it is not going to be based on that. To the root of it might be something more like my Let's Talk topics. Yesterday it was, what if for months, even years, you hit on and tried to be intimate with your mate or spouse only to be constantly rejected? What do? You still love them and have much more than intimacy to lose if you leave them or get a divorce. After you make your decision, someone eventually begins showing you the attention that you've been begging for, and you take that bait. Are you solely the blame for are you solely to blame and the only person that's wrong in the situation? Who's the victim? Let's talk. See, these are the kind of questions that you might be posed in the survey. So you might have been that person that was rejected all that time. What would you do? Are you gonna leave? Are you gonna cheat? If you do cheat after you've done all of that, yo, I'm trying to, you're expressing that you want to be with them in bed, you want to be intimate with them, but they keep rejecting you. You still love them, but somebody gives you that attention you've been asking for, and you cheat. Are you wrong? Granted, you know, you should leave or whatever. You still love them, though, and you've expressed that you want to be with them. What do? Are you wrong in your thought process? When you make that decision, who are y'all both wrong? Is it just you? What is the outcome of that? Why did you make the decision that you made? Who's wrong? Was the person wrong for denying you and they got what they deserved? Were you wrong for cheating because you should have just left? Let's get to the root of it.
Wow. Let me ask you a question. I mean, for a lot of listeners, you know, they're just checking in. Once again, check out the Made Up Talk show. But what we have done tonight, we've done something we usually have not done in no show. We have thrown the alley oop, and as you know, as my brother Eddie was up behind the scenes, the alley oop, and he goes for the slam. You know, and you know, basically what's happened is brother Eddie has a TV show in development right now as we speak, called To the Root of It, and we have both decided that, you know, a talk show kind of mimicking or replicating the same format of the TV show needs to go down. I mean, right now we've been blessed to get a lot of listeners on to the Man Up Talk show, and we really appreciate that. You know, we really appreciate it because, you know, like me and Brother Eddie said, when we think somebody's not listening, oh, they're listening.
Oh, my gosh. Now they're listening.
I mean, they're listening. I mean, and, you know, and my thing is, you know, I like to kind of do things unordinary or trying to push the envelope or throw the alley-oop. I mean, it's always been good results. So far, it's been good results, and God bless you. You know, only God, like you said, Brother Eddie,
only God can judge me.
Yeah, God's put some powers in certain, it's gave me certain abilities to see opportunities and say, you know what, this is alley-oop moment.
That's great.
And to the root of it is just a show. It's going to be added to the format, what we do, just as a part of the movement. And Eddie gets a chance to do what he does best. Oh, he's gonna come at some of you guys. He's going to say some things.
Oh, my God.
It's going to be to the root of it. You know, it's a little bit more in-depth as far as what the Man Up show does because, you know, we got a panel of men. Oh, and trust me, I know Brother Eddie's going to have the panel come join him a couple times because that's how he is.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
He wants to hear. You know, the thing about it, I want your guys to understand. Since I've been around his brother, he, you know, we'll have a disagreement, but at the same time, he is very open to hear what you have to say. You know, he'll give you his views, but when he gives you his views, he makes you think about him. You know, he makes you give an open-minded thought to it. You know, I've heard people say, Brother Eddie's very opinionated. No, he's not opinionated. He's just giving you another option to look at the situation. That's it.
Not to mention, to the root of it, it can't be successful without the thoughts of other people. That's the whole point of To the Root of It. The more thoughts of other people, which is at the end of the show and even during the show, the live audience, they will vote on what they would have done in that situation. So you'll get the statistics of that group of what they would have done in that situation, and then after that, we'll push you to the website so that you can share your because. The more becauses you get, the more information you have to make better decisions about that particular topic. That's the whole concept. The more you have different views of and outlooks, you're talking about different cultures and all kinds of things that are sharing their views and their philosophies on life that will shift your thinking and make you kind of question your thoughts and your views or amplify how yours makes much more sense. That is when you are educated and you are enlightened. And I just came across the thought of the day that almost defied the exact mentality of the to the root of it. It was the thought of the day a couple days ago. It says this, thought of the day. It says irony. Police hate violence and crime, but without violence or crime, they wouldn't have a job. People tend to hate rainy days, but without them, they wouldn't be able to breathe or eat because rain grows the plants and trees that let off the oxygen they breathe in, grows the vegetables that they eat, and the grass that feeds the animals that they eat. If you were to ask a homosexual how they would feel if their parents were gay, they would tell you that they wouldn't have a problem with it, not realizing how accurate their statement is because they wouldn't exist to have a problem with it. Not gay bashing or a gay basher, just showing irony like I am in the other examples. An axe cuts down wooden trees, but isn't physically capable of doing so without the help of a wooden handle. Finally, people want their first relationship to be successful or their happily ever after, but they'll never know what that happiness feels like or be able to appreciate that successful relationship until they first see or experience bad or unsuccessful relationships. How can you be happy with what you have until you not have? You can't be. It says the danger of having a narrow mind is that it can easily prevent you from seeing the blessings hidden in your irony. That's what the root of it is about. That is what the root of it is about. To help you realize the irony in your and the decision making that we make, the difference in opinions that we have, and why, even though y'all have different opinions, both of y'all may very well be right, depending on your because behind your decision making. And now you guys can respect each other and stop looking down on one another and say, yo, I never thought about it like that. Yo, I never thought about it like that. You brought up some good points. I don't know that I would do it like that, but, yo, I can understand where you're coming from. Or, you know what, now that you said it like that, I think I want to take that route. That's when we start building. That's when we come together. That's when we bridge the age gap. That's when we start to come together as people in a community and become better people.
Well said, brother. Well said. Now, if for some reason the producers of the show is chiming in, feel free to call her, brother. We need to link up and talk anyway. I mean, I'm talking to y'all now. If you hear me, let's talk about it, because it's going down. I mean, you know, right now we making noise in the Man Up Show, and I know you hear me, so I need y'all to call me, you know, talk to me, Brother Eddie, if I got to come to Virginia, because you make a move. And, you know, I'm backing my man up. And right now, brother, I hope you don't mind, on the talk show, Dow, I know he's listening right now, but he's the co-producer of To the Root of It with me. You know, I like his mind, and then right now I just think that God has put us in place for certain reasons. So behind the scenes, co-producing the show with you and myself has got to be Brother Dow. Is that unless you have some?
No, I don't have any opposition about that. I don't have any opposition with that, man. Me and Daryl, we talked for hours.
Brother Dow, you online?
Yes, sir.
I know. I threw you alley oop and the curveball, brother. I'm putting you online right now with everybody else. You know, the brother has a TV show going down, and we're producing a talk show for him too on the Shadow Wars Network. What's up, brother? Are you in with me on this producing the show?
Brother, we're in this together.
Listeners, y'all don't understand. You know, Brother Dow, you know, he's a deep mind, just like Brother Eddie. I mean, that's my man right there. It's going down. It's going down. So behind the scenes, me and Dow, we had to make that trip down to Virginia, man. We're going to be on the show. We coming. Brother Dow, any thoughts to me? You get a chance to check out what Brother Eddie was saying?
Yeah, I did catch the tail end of it, but like Eddie's a deep brother. Come at a situation from 3, 4, 7 different directions, point blank. So there's the best thing about one of the greatest things, not the best thing, but one of the best things about Eddie is that he can understand somebody's perspective.
Mm.
He might not agree with the perspective,
but
he understands. So for which there's always dialogue with Eddie. Eddie can just totally agree with you, but can play devil's advocate and go, nah, I'm sorry.
Play the game for the listeners, man.
you don't believe not a word he's saying. Seriously, you don't believe it? Not at all. But he can argue that stuff down just like he's totally behind.
You're right. You're right.
Appreciate what you're doing. They hit me on the mailbox. and I really, truly, from our heart, I'm going to say our heart, because all of us brothers, mm-hmm. right, we appreciate that you, what you do over there in the struggle. Ladies, keep your heads up, because y'all do make a difference. You do make a difference, and we really appreciate you. They have, a military internet show. I'll bring it more to you. But I just want to say thank you. I mean, we got about mm-hmm. 2 minutes left. I want to end off one last song, but, guys, real quick, you want to say something about, like, 10, 20 seconds to the listeners?
Yeah, you set me up. We're going to talk after this daggone show, but I appreciate it.
Hey, listen, let's say goodbye and close it out, brothers. We want to say goodnight to everybody.
One real quick. All right, everybody.
All right.
Everybody have a safe, a blessed Memorial Day weekend. Now, before everybody gets crazy with the ribs and the hot dogs, burgers and all that, remember the reason why there is a Memorial Day.
It's that's good.
Yes.
Who gave up, who sacrificed, who lost their lives in order for us to be able to have the freedoms that we have today. So, you know, let's say a prayer. Let's keep these people in our minds. Let's keep in mind the hardworking service men and women right now who are putting it all on the line in order for us to do what we need to do. Now, we need to have a post-production meeting. We're going to do that real soon. We got to hold it down. We also got to talk about some mentorship programs that we're trying to kick off.
We got things, brother.
Like I said, we're about to blow it all up here. So, everybody, good night. God bless. Have a great week. And we'll catch y'all next week.
Yeah. Love y'all, man. Y'all be easy.
Love you. Hey, Eddie, you got about 20 seconds.
Hey, man, honestly, just, I appreciate your ears. Just the fact that you're listening means you appreciate what we have to say and what we're doing. So please keep coming back. Please add ears to the talk show so that we can get this movement going on strong, because it's not that many things out there that's positive that is intentional about us just growing as people, not as black people, not as white people, not as Latino people, but as people, man. And we are men who are ordinary. Yes, we are, but we are trying to do extraordinary things based on what we have as our opposition, and we just ask that you all join in on this movement so that we can make a difference together.
Amen, brother. Love you guys. See you next week. Let's end it off the proper
way.
And we'll
have
made it without
you. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you were there for me, and I can say, never would have made it. Never could have made it without you. I would have lost it all. But now I see how you